Good morning and welcome to the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to open up to Matthew in chapter 18. And as you're opening up to Matthew chapter 18 this morning, I want to ask a question to everyone. How long has it been since somebody hurt your feelings? How long has it been since someone stole from you, took something from you, slandered you? How long has it been since someone has spoke falsely against you? How long has it been since someone has offended you? How long has it been since someone has offended someone in your family, spoke negatively about someone in your family? Well, if you live long enough, if that hasn't happened, I'm sure it has, but if you live long enough, it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen only once in your life. It may happen on numerous occasions over and over again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, "Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, and woe to that man by whom offenses comes." So we're going to be offended. We're going to be hurt. And I know this isn't any new news for anybody here, but we're also going to hurt people. And we're going to offend people. And everything that's happened to us, we probably are going to do the same thing to someone else. We're going to be offended, and we are going to at times offend others. Each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, no matter who we are. Sometimes we'll be offended, and sometimes we'll be the one that's offending someone else. I know in my life, I've been offended, I've been hurt, but I've also hurt people, and I've also offended people on numerous occasions, over and over again. I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we would have to agree with that. Friends betray us, parents abuse children, children abuse parents, spouses are unfaithful, and on and on and on and on. Friends talk about each other behind their backs. Family members talk about each other behind their backs. Christians talk about each other behind their backs, or people who claim to be Christians. So what do we say? We say the same thing the world says. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, forgive them. In Matthew, in chapter 18, let's look here, beginning in verse 21, and then we'll continue our discussion this morning. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Up to seven times. Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king," now listen, "who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle those accounts, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him that debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoned him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And the Bible goes on to say in verse 34, he said, his Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So we talk about forgiveness. Last week we spoke about mercy. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. We know what we all deserved. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. If we really all got what we deserved, we wouldn't have peace. We wouldn't have comfort knowing that when we breathe our last breath, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. If we all got what we deserved, we know where we would be. There's heaven and there's a hell. Our soul's going to reside in one of the two of those places. Bottom line, spirit and soul, when we breathe our last breath, it'll either be in heaven with Christ or be in hell, eternally separated from God. But God, who's rich in mercy, sent Christ to die for our sin. And when we acknowledge our sin, when we confess our sin, when we ask Christ into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior, when we turn from sin to Him, we receive mercy and forgiveness. See, mercy and forgiveness go hand in hand. Mercy and forgiveness are a combination. And so here in Matthew 18, it's interesting because Peter knew the Old Testament. He knew in the Old Testament talked about having to forgive up to three times. It was, you know, one, two, three strikes, you're out. You know, we've done that. We've done that in our own lives. We've all said, you know, I can forgive you once and I can forgive you twice, but now three times, that's it. You're done. After three times, you're out. I let you go twice. Now the third time, we're done. And there again, raising six kids, if we're being truthful, we've said, okay, you did it this time, that time, now you're done. Now you're done. Of course, no other parent in the world has ever done that. We understand that. It's just Sonia and I that are the ones that would do that. One, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. That's the philosophy. So Peter went to Jesus thinking, I'll be spiritual. I won't say three. I'll say seven. I'll double the three and add one. That should cover it. That should cover it. That means I can forgive you up to seven times. I can forgive you up to seven times. Jesus said, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 70 times seven is 490. So that means, you mean I have to forgive you 490 times. 490 times. You could talk about me, lie about me, cheat me, steal from me. I have to forgive you 490 times. Well, listen, now that I think we have everybody's attention, we could really talk about what really forgiveness is all about here. And the reality is this. There is freedom when we forgive. When we don't forgive, the person who doesn't forgive is in bondage. They're in bondage. They're in bondage. How are they in bondage? Who are they? They're in bondage to the person that they don't forgive. When we don't forgive, the person that we don't forgive has control over us because we're not forgiving. See, forgiving is not this. It's not that we instantly stop hurting. You don't instantly stop hurting. We don't instantly stop hurting. Sometimes hurting takes a long time to get over it. We've all been hurt deeply by people that we would have never expected to be hurt by, and that's even the worst kind of hurt, when you're hurt by someone that you really don't expect to be hurt by. So it takes time to get over those hurts. Forgiving also doesn't mean that we forget. Doesn't mean that we forget. So if it meant we forget, that means we'd have to put everything out of our memory. We've all been hurt by numerous people during our lives. That means we just forget about it. Don't think about it, right? We've heard this statement. Well, you know, I'm not mad anymore. I've forgiven. I just can't see that person. I just don't want to be around that person. Well, that's not forgiving. Well, what is forgiving? What does it mean to forgive? Well, the word that Peter used is the word that means to dismiss, to release. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew to leave their nets, they didn't forget their nets. They didn't forget them. They dismissed them. They released them. They didn't forget about that they had nets. That's the word we're talking about here. It's not to forget. It's not to all of a sudden my emotional, my hurt, my pain is gone. It's not that. And it's not to forget, because we don't forget. But it's to release. It's to release an offense. That's what it is. I'm releasing. I'm giving it away. I'm giving it up. I'm letting it go. I'm not forgetting because it happened, but I've overcome it because I've let it go. And I harbor no ill. I harbor no bitterness. I harbor no malice, no anger. I let it go. And that's our problem as people. We don't let it go. We don't let it go. We say we do, but we don't. See, when we're unforgiving, what it does is it binds the offense. It binds what happens to our hearts. That's really what it does. It becomes a part of us, and there's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in that. And so we have to understand, not when it binds something to our hearts, you know what that ensures? That we will never forget. And it's like watching a bad movie all the time. All the time. The same Rolodex of all the hurts and the pains. I'm going to go through my life and just keep going over. Everybody who did something bad to me, hurt me, offended me, did something bad to my family, I'm going to continue to go over all of that. That is bound to our hearts, and that ensures the fact that will never have freedom. There's no freedom in that. That's bondage. That's what that is. That is bondage. And so when we forgive, that's the first link in the chain of forgetting, not to hold on to it. When we think about it, there was a man who was owed a lot of money. That's what this passage of scripture is telling us. There's a man that was owed a lot of money. Ton of money. And he let that person off the hook. He let him off the hook. That person went out and was owed pennies compared to what the other guy was owed. And said to the person that owed him that little amount of money, no, you're going to pay me. Not only are you going to pay me, I'm going to throw you in prison. Think about that. We've been forgiven by Christ. When we didn't deserve to be, we did nothing to deserve his forgiveness. We received his forgiveness. We're so thankful for his forgiveness. We're amazed that he would forgive me. And we have so much joy and happiness. And we want to tell everybody about how great God is, that he would enter the world as Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And the peace that brings, knowing that when I breathe my last breath, that I will spend eternity with Jesus, the peace that brings, knowing that he is in me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, the peace that brings, knowing no matter how difficult the world is, he's always going to be there. There is no greater peace than that. And we have that. You have it. I have it. Everyone who's ever given their life to Christ, from what the way the Bible says to give your life to Christ, has that. And that's just, wow. That's why we sing. That's why we praise Him. That's why we teach the Bible. That's why we fellowship with one another. That's why we try to live the way Jesus lived every day, to help other people come to know Christ. And so we're happy about that. That doesn't mean everything in our life is always happy. That doesn't mean there's not going to be bad circumstances occur, because they do, they will, and they'll continue to be. That doesn't mean we won't have storms in our lives, because they are there. They're going to continue to come. But what that means is we have peace. We're not angry. We're not bitter. We don't have to curse at everybody all the time. We don't have to act like we're just the meanest, nastiest people in the world, because we're not. That doesn't mean we're stupid. That doesn't mean we're weak. That doesn't mean anything other than, you know what? We have peace. And we've experienced mercy, grace, and forgiveness. There's nothing better than that. And so we're happy people. Everything is good. And then somebody offends us. Mr. and Mrs. Super Duper Christian. Mr. and Mrs. Super Duper Christian who go to church every week and do this and that, and they give and serve and everything is great. Ministry here, ministry there. Go visit people in the hospitals and the facilities, and we do everything, and then somebody offends us. After all of the money that we have been, it's been canceled, it's been released, just like here with the master, released it, canceled the debt. I forgave you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. But then somebody offends us. Somebody lies about us. Somebody says something about our kids, our wife, our brother, our sister, our mother, our father. Someone offends us. And then what happens? Then, if we're being honest, we become like the guy who was forgiven the debt of the 10,000 talents, and we become him, because now somebody hurt us and we can't stand them. We can't stand them. We'll figure out a way to get even. Their time is coming. We're not letting them off the hook. Unless they come and apologize. And if they don't do it the way we like to do it, then what we've done is we've ensured the fact that we're never going to forgive, because we're binding that to our hearts. And that's ingrained into our hearts then. That's what happens. So instead of reflecting the king's compassion, this one servant, when he had the opportunity to forgive, he did just the opposite. He didn't reflect the king's compassion. He didn't reflect the king's mercy, the king's grace. He didn't do any of that. He forgot how much he had been forgiven. That's what he did. He forgot. And so we need to be careful, because that's what we can become. Because we're going to be offended. We're going to be hurt. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's impossible not to. It doesn't, I guess, I don't know a way it could not happen, unless you just lock yourself in a room and don't interact with people. Don't watch TV. Don't do anything. Just sit there and hope, I don't want to see anybody because I may be offended. They may say something I don't like. Well, if you watch the news, you'll be offended every 2 seconds. Talk to people who have a different view, you'll be offended. You may even be hurt. They may even say something negatively about you. And then how do you handle that? Do you become like the gracious king? Or do you become the guy who received all of the graciousness of forgiveness and mercy and grace and decide not to give it out to someone else? Forgiveness is a decision to release a person from an obligation that resulted when they injured you or me. We make a decision to release them. We don't have to like what happened. We're not going to forget what happened. It takes us a while to get over the pain of what happened. But I believe this to be true. I believe the closer that we get to God, that long while becomes less of a while. Some people it takes years to get over things. Other people it takes months to get over things. Understand, no one's saying you're not going to be hurt, or when you are hurt, in the next 2 seconds you'll just say, okay, I forgive, everything's good. It takes time sometimes. It does take time. But the matter of time it takes really depends on how close you are to God, how close you want to be to God, how close you really genuinely desire to be to Him. Because the closer we want, desire to be to God, to emulate Christ, the more we're going to see how short we fall, and then we ask for forgiveness. And what do we ask for forgiveness for? We ask for forgiveness for not being forgiving. That's why you ask for forgiveness when you're unforgiving. And so, you know, God's people receive two types, if you will, of forgiveness. Two types. One is we're forgiven once and for all for our past, present, and future sins. That's one type of forgiveness we receive. One time for all the sins we ever have committed, we're currently in the midst of committing, or we're ever going to commit. That's sound from God's word. And the other type of forgiveness we receive is a cleansing, a daily forgiveness, or every time we sin. Now you say, well, if you've been forgiven every time, past, present, and every time in the future you're going to sin, how do you receive another forgiveness? Well, if we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's what God's word tells us. So if we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, what does that mean? Well, if I don't confess my sin, that's like if we say we have no sin. If I say I have no sin, that means I have nothing to confess. I have nothing to confess. I did nothing wrong. I said nothing wrong. I offended no one. If we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So when I sin on a daily basis, which I do, anybody else here sin on a daily basis? You don't have to even think about it for 2 seconds. That should have been, yes, that's me too. We don't want you to feel like you're all by yourself. I've sinned every day. Anybody sin this morning? Yes, we probably did. Yes, we probably did. So when we then ask for forgiveness of that sin, let's say you sinned this morning on the way to church because you got annoyed because someone was in front of you and they just stopped and you beeped the horn. What are you doing? And right? Look at this guy. Look at her. And you're on your way to church. And you're on your way to church. What do you do? You got to say, if you're thinking properly, which obviously if we did that, we weren't, but we have to catch ourselves. And how do we catch ourselves? The Holy Spirit convicts us of what we just did. You mean you're getting ready in 2 minutes to walk in to worship God, and you're just screaming at somebody because they weren't driving the way you wanted them to. So what do? Most people do nothing. They just walk in and act like nothing happened, and that's it. That would be then, right there, that would be saying, if we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't with us. So what do? God, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have reacted like that, shouldn't have responded like that. I want to be right when I come to worship you. That's the other type of forgiveness on a daily basis. We don't do that to preserve our salvation, but to restore the broken relationship we have, because when we sin, we break our relationship with Him. Doesn't mean we're going to hell. It just means now we've broken our relationship with him. And the spirit that we have within us then is suppressed because we've broken our relationship with God. Doesn't mean, well, every time I sin, I have to ask for forgiveness because I'm going to go to hell. That means I have to ask for forgiveness every other day. I wouldn't know if I'm going to heaven or hell because I'd be sinning every day. So that's not what that means. We just restore our relationship. And so that's what forgiveness is. And this word, it's used of forgiveness to we release. We let it go. We release, we let it go. You know, instead of reflecting the king's compassion, as we said earlier, the Bible tells us that the servant became angry and thought he himself was still owed money. So God's people who received forgiveness now have received the greatest thing that there could possibly be given to you, and that's salvation through the grace of God. In the midst of the grace of God, which is the favor we didn't deserve, we received mercy, which is we didn't get what we did deserve. That's mercy. We didn't get what we deserved because God forgave us by sending Christ to die for our sin. And that brings everything we talked about earlier. And we started this morning by saying, when was the last time you've been hurt? When was the last time you've been offended? When was the last time someone did something to you that really hurt you? Or that hurt all of those situations that we discussed? Well, it's going to happen. When it happens, you and I, or everyone who's ever called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, need to understand we need to give out what we've received. We need to give out what we received. And the difficult part in that is this. We don't get to choose who we give it out to. Well, you know, I could forgive my son for doing this, or I could forgive my friend, and but you know what? I never liked that other guy. Can't stand that person. Could never stand him anyway. He was always this, or she was always that. And then we become the guy we just read about, who didn't let the $10 go when he owed $10,000. Then we become him. But we're not him. If we become him, here's the question. If we become him, what's the reality of that we were ever like the first king? If we don't forgive, where is the proof? Where is the proof of what we say we have is our faith if we don't forgive? Where's the proof? Well, you know, Pastor, now you're being judgmental, and there's no judgmentalness in that. That's a question. That's a direct question to everybody sitting here or anywhere else. Where's the proof? Because you say you are? Because you got baptized? Because you came to church for 37,000 years? Because you sang in the choir? Where's the proof? Anybody could do those things. Anybody could stand up, open up a hymnal and sing. Anybody can get up and play the piano and sing. Anybody could be anything. Where's the proof that we released, we let go? Where's the proof? That's why we come here. We come here to praise and worship God because he's deserving of it. We come here to thank him for sending Christ to die for our sin because we didn't deserve it. We want all of the blessings, and we want everything that being a part of God's family has to offer. And then we receive it, or we say we received it, but yet then we don't want to give it out. So if you've truly received, then you would truly give. Then you would truly give. And I would say this, people who claim to be Christians and churches all around the country and all around the world need to think real long and hard about who they forgive and what they forgive and how long does it take to forgive. Because when we want to hold on to that unforgiveness, all it does is it's bound to our heart and ensures, guarantees, if you will, the fact that we may never be a forgiving people. And we know we've been forgiven. So why not this morning say, I want to be what God wants me to be? Because there's a danger in not forgiving. And the danger in not forgiving, we read this morning, right at the end. We read right at the end, if you go to verse 35. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. That's not my words. Those are God's words. What will he do? What will he do to us? Well, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. Earlier in the book of Matthew, it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses. Let's remember what it is. Let's remember what it is. It's releasing. It's dismissing. I'm releasing it. I'm releasing the hurt and pain. I'm dismissing it. I'm not forgetting it. But I'm not remembering it in a way when every time I remember it, it brings up bad feelings. I'm just releasing it. It happened. There's nothing we can change about the fact that it happened. There's nothing you and I can change about the fact that we've been hurt and offended. And there's nothing we could do about the fact that we've hurt people and offended people. And so when we hurt and offend people, and we've acknowledged that, we need to go to those people and say, you know, I apologize for hurting you or offending you. And just like it's our choice to forgive, it's others' choices to forgive. But when we forgive, there's no other time ever in our lives as God's people when we emulate Jesus Christ more. When we truly forgive from the heart, that is when we then really are giving the best representation of Jesus Christ in our lives. When we do it genuinely, not just because we feel like we have to, but when we do it really from the heart and we really release and dismiss from the heart, we are more like Jesus at that point than we ever were in our life in the past. Let's be a forgiving people and emulate Christ in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you.